Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
Eating together is the crown of fellowship, it has been stated. I realize that different cultures have different customs. But a meal together as a family is generally treasured. What we Christians call the Lord's table has its roots long ago in the exodus of Israel from Egypt led by Moses. The Passover then was their final ceremony in the land of their captivity. It celebrated their release from slavery. By it, they bound themselves to be subject to the Lord Jehovah. The blood on the doors both liberated them from Egypt and obligated them to the Lord. After that, it was to be an annual memorial feast throughout their generations. Jews all over the world have kept the Passover, modified because of the circumstances under which they had to live. Now, when Jesus came, he advanced the revelation of God. Born of a virgin, he had a perfect human nature, lived a perfect human life, made a perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. The potential is there for all and any who hear and believe. As the blood of the Passover lamb liberated and obligated Israel, so the blood of Jesus liberates us from the judgment of our sins and obligates us to serve him. The trade-off is all in our advantage. Amen. Paul's teaching about the Lord's table, then, in 1 Corinthians 10:16-22, helps us to understand its meaning. So open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10:16-22 for our study about the meeting at the Lord's table. Now listen very carefully to 1 Corinthians 10:16-22 for my scripture text. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say ye then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifices to an idol is anything? But I say, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? I invite you to join me now as I reflect on several meditative thoughts derived from Paul's teaching about meeting at the Lord's table. The first is the thought of inclusion. The family is here, the cup which we bless, the reflection of the closely knit family at the Passover. They were there, as I read to you, right there as a family. We saw them on the evening of their exodus. The cup of the body of Christ unites us in communion as members of the family of God. The word communion in our text means close fellowship, participation. So we can say this is a participation in the blood of Christ. My wife Isabel and I have joyfully experienced meeting at the Lord's table in different countries, with different brothers and sisters in the family of God. It is a fellowship of the body of Christ. So the bread, united in Jesus as the grains are united in the bread. This has often been brought out as an analogy. Each grain is joined to the other grain in the bread. So the bread. We become one body. Our first meditative thought is the inclusion. We are at the family table, so to speak. Now listen to the words of Barnes in his commentary. I quote, There is evident allusion here to the fact that the loaf, or cake, was composed of many separate grains of wheat, or portions of flour united in one, or that as one loaf was broken and partaken by all, it was implied that they were all one. We are all one society, united as one, and for the same object. Our partaking of the same bread is an emblem of the fact that we are one. In almost all nations, the act of eating together has been regarded as a symbol of unity or friendship. End of quotation. The second thought, then, is the thought of intrusion. Here the Apostle Paul gets rather firm on a matter of the altar of sacrifice. The altar of sacrifice was for those who served at the altar. In the history of Israel, this was very important. Certain family members had been set aside by the decree of God to be the ones to officiate at the altar. They were the sons of Levi. They were called Levites, the priestly tribe. One of the kings of Israel, in the process of their history, presumed to usurp the priesthood, and he suffered leprosy the rest of his life. His name was Uzziah. No one, at any rate, was to officiate at the altar except the descendants of Levi. Idol sacrifices have no place. They are an intrusion. Opposites cannot be tolerated. Idol worshippers intrude into the body of Christ. Now, it is very interesting that the word communion is the word fellowship, and the word fellowship in verse 20 is identical with the word communion in verse 16. You see, the intrusion of idol worship into the fellowship of the Lord's table is unthinkable. In our second meditative thought, then, is intrusion, corrupting the fellowship of the body of Christ. Again, Barnes's commentary, I quote, "They are united in their worship and are so regarded. And in like manner, if you partake of the sacrifices offered to idols and join with their worshippers in their temples, you will be justly regarded as united with them in their worship and partaking with them in their abominations." You see? Our third thought is the thought of exclusion. The Apostle Paul draws the line very sharply, very distinctly, very clearly in verse 21. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker at the Lord's table and the table of devils. This is impossible." Well, Jesus said on another occasion, "You cannot serve two masters. You either love the one and hate the other, serve the one or despise the other." You must decide where your loyalty is. It is impossible, the apostle says. You are not able to drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. The cup of the Lord and the Lord's table exclude the cup of demons and the table of demons. I'm going to tell you something very emphatically. The Lord is intolerable of evil. Anyone who follows him must also be intolerable of evil. I remember so well at the time of the Jerusalem Conference on Biblical Prophecy, on Friday morning, as the sun was shining in the east, we gathered on the Mount of Olives over there in Israel for a communion service for the Lord's table. Dr. Richard Halvorson, in charge, said as we began, "This table is for sinners." Well, underneath that was, "Table for sinners who have found their peace with God." Think of this, our third meditative thought. It is exclusion, to maintain the proper relation with Jesus. Once again, here, Barnes, "We may observe that any course of life that tends to alienate the affections from God and to fix them on other beings or objects is a sin of the same kind as that referred to here. any inordinate love of friends or property. Of honor has substantially the same idolatrous nature and will tend to provoke him to anger. And it may be asked of Christians now, whether they will by such inordinate attachments provoke the Lord to wrath, whether they will thus excite his displeasure and expose themselves to his indignation. Very often Christians do thus provoke him. They become unduly attached to a friend or to wealth, and God in anger takes away that friend by death or that property by the flames. Or they conform to the world and mingle in its scenes of fashion and gaiety and forget God. And in displeasure he visits them with judgment, humbles them, and recalls them to himself. End of quote. Therefore, our meeting at the Lord's table will be enriched as we meditate on these thoughts. The thought of inclusion, the body of Christ. We are one body. The thought of intrusion, the sacrifices that are made to demons. The thought of exclusion, no fellowship between the Lord's cup and the cup of demons. The Lord's table and the table of demons. We meet at the Lord's table as the body of Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee again that we can call thee, Father, because we are members of the family of God, the family of God around the world. And when we gather at the Lord's table, we gather at the family table. And Father, I thank thee for all its significance, that the blood of Jesus Christ separates us from the world. It liberates us from the bondage of sin and obligates us to serve the Lord. So bless my friend and me as we seek to fulfill our calling as a child of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, the church at Corinth had some major problems. But you know something? They're the same kind of problems we face in the church today. That's because human nature does not change. People all over the world share the same sickness that affected our first parents, Adam and Eve. That sickness is called sin. As Dr. Yoder pointed out in his message, the church is made up of redeemed sinners, sinners who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, sinners whose lives have been transformed by the power of Christ. And we are now new creatures in Him. Old things must pass away. We must put off the things we did when we lived in sin. And now we must put on the things of God and live the way He wants us to. My friend, the subject of our program today is a very important one, and I want to help you understand just how important it is. So here's what I'll do. If you write to me, I'll send you a copy of this message in print. And when I do, I'll include all the other messages from this series. They're all bound in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. Here's our mailing address. It's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your request by the email link that's provided there. Once again, that mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Again, the title of the book is Glory in the Lord. Be sure to tune in next week as we discuss how to make ethical decisions. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.